8:02 on a Wednesday, free agent frenzy day here at Sportsnet 650. You're listening to Halford and Brough, your home of the Canucks. We've got a lot to get into on the final hour of this program. We will do what we learns, but I got a feeling that it might be usurped by some free agent news. Now, a reminder, things can't actually be signed until 9:01 a.m., which, of course, is exactly when we're off the air. But leading up to then, there's been a ton of news already. I expect more. A lot of these deals have already been done. They get leaked in the lead up prior to. So we'll keep an eye on all of that. And before we get to Jeff Pat for his final hit with us here on the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650, we need to quickly tell you about two terrific companies. The first, of course, the Dilawri family of Acura dealers. Experience the Dilawri difference today by visiting your nearest Dilawri Acura dealer today. Which one is nearest to you? Is it the North Shore Auto Mall one? Is it the Langley Bypass one? Or is it downtown Vancouver at 730 Terminal Avenue? Go check them all out, but visit the one closest to you today. Tell everybody about Kintec.
This hour of Halford and Brough is brought to you by Kintec Footwear and Orthotics. Do your feet hurt? Mine did. So I went to Kintec. They made me some great orthotics. They've got this great technology where they scan your foot and they're like, that is a beautiful foot. And also, it might fit well in these shoes. And I got a few pairs of shoes there and I love the shoes. Kintec can help your hurting feet. Talk to a fitting expert today at 11 Lower Mainland locations or online at kintec.net.
Dominic, did you teach Josh where the breaking news button is?
Yes, he does.
Sportsnet 650, breaking news.
Per NHL Network's Kevin Weeks, the Halak deal appears to be done with the Vancouver Canucks. According to Kevin, all signs point to Yaroslav Halak signing a one-year deal with a base of $1.5 million salary plus potential bonuses of $1.5 as well. So those are the details there. We will wait for confirmation. But as we break that news, we will now bring in Jeff Patterson for some instant analysis on the deal. Jeff, I know I'm throwing you on the spot here, but I'm assuming you heard the lengthy lead-in that the Canucks have indeed found a new backup netminder, according to NHL Network's Kevin Weeks. It is the veteran 36-year-old Yaroslav Halak.
Yeah, hi, guys. And I think this is a pretty tidy piece of business for the Vancouver Canucks. You get a guy who has been in this role the last couple of years. Like, Braden Holtby, part of the adjustment was he had been the guy in Washington forever, and I think he really struggled becoming a backup. There were other reasons he struggled. It was a pandemic. It was his first trip to another conference and a different team outside Washington. Halak has moved around, obviously, in his career. He's 36. It comes with some risk. Played 19 games for Boston last year. But I like the fact that the Canucks didn't give him term, that they took advantage of the 35-plus. You can structure it with some bonuses so he can make his money. But you've got Mikey DiPietro waiting in the wings. He's going to play a ton in Abbotsford. It wouldn't surprise me if DiPietro at some stage this season gets into some NHL games as well, but he wasn't ready to be the backup. So they needed somebody to support Thatcher Demko. And I think Yaro Halak has shown that his game hasn't really fallen, even as he moves into his mid-30s. Decent numbers, a couple of years removed from a season with a .922 save percentage. The one thing that concerns me a little bit is as we get back to an 82-game schedule, he's coming to the West Coast for the first time in his career. He's played in a bunch of different places. He played in St. Louis, so he's been in the Western Conference, but my geography tells me St. Louis is right in the middle of the continent. So, we'll see how that works as far as life on the West Coast and the travel that comes with it. The Canucks with 10 back-to-backs. So you certainly would think those would be starts for backup and then some prescribed starts along the way. But this is a guy that can still play in the National Hockey League. So I was worried the Canucks might lock into a little bit of term. I didn't want to see that happen, and I know Mikey DiPietro wouldn't have wanted to see that happen. So all things considered, I think this is the kind of move they probably should have made a year ago, but they've gone down this road, and I kind of like the idea of Yaro Halak as the backup to Thatcher Demko.
J-Pat, what about the right side of the defense? Any ideas? Mike and I were talking about it earlier, and we were wondering if the Canucks might look at the free agency market and go, well, the guys we want, if there are any, aren't going to sign with us. Do we have to explore the trade route?
Yeah, I mean, I think that they're going to try to get some work done today in unrestricted free agency. I don't know how much money they have ultimately since they haven't been able to get Pettersson and Hughes done. They've got Jason Dickinson as well as an RFA. So I think they would have liked a little more cost certainty. They don't have it. They got the deal done with Connor Garland yesterday. But they do have some money. Obviously, when you free up as much money as you do in a day like yesterday with the Holtby buyout and the Schmidt trade, they're going to have some money to spend. But, you know, if we get to the end of the day and the Canucks lead the NHL in seventh defenseman, that is not a good day for them. And that's my concern. You know, can Travis Hammond come back and play? Sure. I prefer that he was lower in the depth chart than he was last year. Now there's talk of them being linked to Luke Shen for a couple of years. I see people saying that when the window opens, Brad Hunt, who's a 32-year-old, total depth guy, you know, local. I mean, it makes sense if he's in Abbotsford. He could be the captain in Abbotsford. You know, he's had lots of kicks at the can in the NHL, but I think that's a depth signing for them. And so then it leads you back to, you know, they've been linked to Jake McCabe an awful lot, but he's a left side guy, not a righty. Yanni Hakanpaa kind of fits the bill of the heft that Jim Benning was talking about at 6'5" and 220 pounds, but a guy that doesn't have an extensive NHL resume. So, you know, I wonder about a Sammy Vatanen. That was a player that they were linked to before they signed Hamonic. They had a training camp last year. Tucker Poolman out of Winnipeg, his brother came to a Canucks development camp a couple of years ago. So there is a family tie to the organization. You know, are those the answers? Probably not. But then again, this has been sort of Jim Benning's downfall throughout his time as general manager. When you think going back to his, you know, his start here, Lucas Pisa, Philip Larson, Adam Clendenning, Derek Pouliot, Eric Branson, you all know the names, Del Lozado, most recently Nate Schmidt. Like, they just haven't been able to find anybody that, you know, hit and stuck as a core piece on the back end. And so that pursuit continues here.
You know, the reason that I brought this up originally is I kind of, you know, I was thinking maybe too big brain. And I was like, well, you know, given all these lack of options and everything else that's happened, it just feels like a sort of safe, decent, but not spectacular building of a defense doesn't really jive with everything else that the Canucks have done. Because they're pot committed for this season. Jim Benning's all in. The organization's all in. They've made all these big, significant, profound moves to get this team back to where they want it to be, which is in the playoffs. Going in with, I mean, Jason put the potential of having, who is it on the right side? Hamonic, Shen.
And Myers.
And Myers. Like, that to me would be the kind of defense that you have as a stopgap year, where you're waiting for the year following to do something
big. Now imagine one of them gets hurt,
right?
Like Myers.
So what I said was, you know, I just feel like if they're going to continue down this path of being really aggressive and making the bold moves, that acquiring a defenseman via trade might be the way to go, as opposed to some of these leftovers in free agency. I throw up, you know, Besser seems to make sense, but I don't think they're going to do that. It would be interesting to see if the organization is willing to part with even more draft picks, because right now Nate Schmidt went for a third rounder. Nikita Zadorov just went for a third rounder. So it does seem as though there's options out there via the trade market. And I think that would fit more along the lines of what the Canucks are trying to do in terms of being aggressive.
Trader Jim is going to move that first rounder next year, three in a row.
People have thrown it out there. People have thrown it out there.
Look, I think the Canucks have done a lot of good work here in the last 10 days. Like, I like the Dickinson trade. I'm big on Connor Garland. They got out from the dead money. It came at the cost of, you know, those years of Oliver Ekman-Larsson and the first rounder and punting some money down the road with the buyouts. Like, you know, so there was a cost to it, and these were all mistakes that Jim had created for himself. But I still, like, I think that they're a better team right now. I would hate to see their undoing being going into next season with a defense corps that just isn't good enough. And again, that's been an issue for far too long here in this market. So, you're right. Prices seem affordable, but they don't have a ton of draft capital. Man, that's where you wish that they had been able to do a better job of developing the Jonah Gadjeviches, and Cole Lind is no longer on their roster, obviously. But, you know, if Jet Wu had come a little bit further along, like if they had a few more trade pieces, but it's bare bones below the NHL level. And then you're talking about draft capital, and they spent an awful lot of it. But make no mistake, they are in win-now mode. Like, for all the talk, guys, that we have had for how many years about the summer of 2020 and all those bad contracts coming off the books, those contracts are gone. They have moved this process up a year. This is it. Like, as things stand right now, Tyler Mott is their only unrestricted free agent that's going to come off the books a year from now, and they'll probably get him re-signed. But this is it. Like, the cap space that they've got, much of it allocated already, so they don't have a ton of money to spend here. And you're right, there aren't a lot of trade chips. And I think they want to see where Brock Besser can help them as part of this group that they have assembled. We've talked for a few days here. You know, the top nine looks legit now. Like, I think there's reason to be excited about their top nine, and Brock Boeser is a big part of that. So I certainly don't think that they want to part with him. They want to see what he can do if he's reunited with Pettersson and JT Miller on that Lotto line, and can they get back to their form of a couple of years ago. So I think this team's done some good work, but right now that defense is not NHL caliber. And the question is, can they get it there? And if so, how are they going to do it? Is it just by piecemeal, or, you know, can they somehow identify a player that they think can step in and log top 4 minutes and help them? Because while I don't mind the idea of bringing Luke Shen back, like, Luke Shen was a depth piece in Tampa. Tampa's a way better team than the Vancouver Canucks, but Luke Shen probably isn't an everyday defenseman in the National Hockey League at this stage of his career, although I will say I had to look it up. I thought he was older than he was. He's only 31. I don't know. In my mind, I thought he was pushing his mid-30s. So it's not really an age thing. It's just that, you know, he hasn't been an everyday player in the NHL for the last couple of seasons on a really good Tampa team. Can he be an everyday guy in the National Hockey League at this stage of his career? I just don't know. But that seems like a risk to me if the Canucks were going to go into the season with Hamonic and Shen as two of their top six defensemen.
Hanging over all this is the potential, and I just say the potential, for an Elias Pettersson offer sheet. On a scale of 1 to 10, how worried should Canucks fans be about this?
Oh, I'd put it in the pretty low range, a 3. But I think you saw yesterday that clearly the Canucks felt that they had to clear this cap space, that they could, like, the potential was greater yesterday if they had absolutely no cap space. I think teams around the league would have recognized that and thought, like, this is a team that's in a pinch. And so by buying out Holtby and trading Schmidt and just clearing out cap space, I think that sent a warning to other teams basically to stay off their lawn, that Jim had already said they would match any offer. That to me was a fairly aggressive day yesterday to send a message to the league that the Canucks are prepared if somebody wants to come down that road. Now, the flip side is, and I see a lot of people saying, like, you know, this is brutal. The Canucks haven't been able to get Elias Pettersson signed. And I understand that. And I, you know, I think I've said with you guys before, like, it would have been great if the organization could have just lopped that avenue off for other teams by getting a deal done here. But, you know, the player and his agent have some say in this process too, right? Like, you know, and it just feels to me like if you're a star player, a young star player, and the potential even of an offer sheet is out there, and you get this close to being an RFA, why wouldn't you wait? Like, what's the downside to seeing if some team goes rogue and comes over the top with just a crazy deal? And, you know, if Pettersson was looking at getting 7+ from the Canucks, like, what if another team is willing to bump him to 9 or 10? This is business, and you only have so many opportunities to alter your pay significantly. Like, this is all part of the process. I'm not expecting it to happen, but I think it was pretty clear with the moves to free up the cap space yesterday that the Canucks saw it as a very real possibility at the very least.
Earlier in this call, we reported the Yaroslav Halak deal through Kevin Weeks of NHL Network, that the one of the positions that the Canucks need to fill was that number two goalie, and that's going to be filled by Yaroslav Halak. Now we are getting word, courtesy of TSN's Bob McKenzie, that while not finalized, Brandon Sutter appears likely to be heading back to Vancouver on a one-year deal. That would presumably fill out the 4C spot that is vacant. So right now, our poll question was, you know, how many of these boxes are going to get ticked right now? You could say at the very least, even before the start of official free agency at 9 o'clock, the Canucks have already found their number two goalie and their number four center. Again, assuming all these reports are true.
And I've said this for a while, like, Brandon Sutter, and I don't know if we've seen the dollar figure yet, but, you know, 1 year, if it's a low money contract, he wants to be here. He and Travis Green have a bond, and there's a trust there, and penalty kill, and all that kind of stuff. And I've got time. I got lots of time for Brandon Sutter, the person, Brandon Sutter, the player, at a reasonable freight and on a one-year deal. Like, I'm okay with that. So, you know, basically, as you said, that rounds out their forward group. You know, it would look like a fourth line of Sutter with Mott on one side, and then either McEwen or Highmore. The one thing I do think when I look at the Canucks and the addition of Connor Garland, and while Nils Höglander plays hard, he's not a big guy. You know, there isn't a ton of size and grit
in the
forward group for the Vancouver Canucks. That's why, like, and that's where I hope that Zach MacEwen is sitting back and taking all this to heart, and the fact that he couldn't get into the lineup on a regular basis last year. And His performance was spotty. He had a really good summer training camp at this time a year ago, but since that point, in and out of the lineup, a healthy scratch a bunch. You know, there was the one game where he came to the rescue of Hoglander, stuck up for him, got in the fight with Forbert in Winnipeg. You know, this feels like a real opportunity for Zach MacEwen if he can get back in the good graces of the head coach and become a regular in the National Hockey League, because I think the Canucks could absolutely use that element that he possesses. You know, Highmore's a different player. He's got speed. We saw some of that. And so, you know, you can have some different looks, but it feels to me, MacEwen's under contract for another season here. Like, what a chance for him to sort of come to camp and really make a statement that he's not going to be denied, and he gets that the situation is there for him, and he's got to play that role. But I do think when I look at the forward group, you know, grit and toughness, even though the game is going away from that, it's still hockey. There's always going to be that physical element. I think that's an area, a little bit of an area of concern for me for this hockey club.
Jeff, we mentioned it earlier, but this is going to be your final hit with us for the foreseeable future here. It's summertime, so enjoy some well-deserved time off. And best of luck with the new gig, working as a Canucks reporter for Sakaris and Price. Hopefully we can connect at some point when the season starts back up, but in the case that we don't, we just want to say thank you for joining us here at Sportsnet 650. We always appreciate your insights on the club.
Well, I'm delighted that you guys have found your rightful home. It's so good to have you guys back on the air. It's been fun to join you. I asked Dom for a Sarah McLachlan-esque audio montage that he didn't come through with, but I understand he's busy training today, so I guess that's understandable. But
that's on Bradford, Dom.
Yeah, when I think of where we all were in February to be back doing what we love to do, it's been an eventful couple of months without a doubt, but excited about the future, and thanks so much for having me as part of your show here as you guys got up and running again.
Well, Jeff, goodbye, and we hope you enjoy
your time.
And anyway, good luck with Maddie and Blake.
Thanks, buddy.
We'll see you on a patio somewhere.
See you, buddy.
Jeff Patterson here on the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650. Remember when we had Chris Johnston on the show at 6:30 in the morning? It feels like forever ago.
Mm-hmm.
But you asked him a couple questions about the Edmonton Oilers, and he responded by saying he thinks the Edmonton Oilers will be a very busy team today. So they have re-signed Tyson Berry, though not official. Again, none of this stuff gets done official until 9:01. The Zach Hyman deal, official. Now we're getting word that they have traded Ethan Bear to Carolina. We don't know what the return is yet, but Ethan Bear, I guess the one side of that defense got really heavy, and Bear was kind of the odd man out in terms
of minutes. Cody Ceci addition as well.
Fred, I forgot about that. That's what it was. It was Cody Ceci as well. So we're waiting on the return. I had heard originally that it might have been Warren Fogle going back the other way, but we haven't got confirmation on that yet.
That defense in Edmonton.
So it is Fogle. It is.
I like Darnell Nurse. Tyson Berry's a good power play guy. Other than that, yikes.
Warren Fogle, a.k.a. McLovin, on his way to Edmonton in exchange for Ethan Bear. That's from the Athletic Sarasivian. So there's lots going on. We have exactly 40 minutes left to go on this program. We're going to come back with some What We Learns and try and get into all this news that is going around the NHL as the free agent frenzy continues. It is Halford and Brough on your home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650.
Not having monthly fees means no monthly fee increases. Switch to a Simply Financial no-fee checking account and earn $200.
.26 on a free agent frenzy Wednesday here on the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650. We, of course, are brought to you, not just we, What We Learned as well, is brought to you by the fine folks of the Dilawri family of Acura dealers. Experience the Dilawri difference today. Visit your nearest Dilawri Acura dealer today. We are also brought to you, and by we, I mean the final hour of this program, by Kintec, the orthotics experts that have helped Jason return to foot normalcy.
Do your feet hurt? Kintec can help. Talk to a fitting expert today at 11 Lower Mainland locations or online at kintec.net.
Do you want to play the music?
Yeah,
let's play some What We Learn music.
We're going to need a few things for this class.
Boring.
An eagerness to learn. A thirst for knowledge.
So, what did we learn in the last 24 hours?
When life gives you lemons, just say, the lemons and bail.
Wow, you sure know a lot of stuff.
It's great to learn.
Because knowledge is power.
Okay, you start.
So I'll start. I'm going to do two quick ones. First of all, from the Olympics, Simone Biles has now withdrawn from the individual all-around gymnastics competition.
So that's it. Her Olympics are over.
The decision comes a day after she removed herself from the team final following one rotation on vault. She cited her mental health as the reason when speaking to the media following the competition. So we will revisit this later in the week when there's less pressing Canucks and NHL news. It's a fascinating story that's developing with Simone Biles. Little bit of Canucks news. I don't know if we got the details on Brandon Sutter's contract in there. It's being reported by Dan Murphy and Rick Dhaliwal and Thomas Drantz that it's going to be a one-year deal for Sutter, maybe right at $1 million or just over $1 million. So this is, to me, and I tweeted this out, this is a perfectly good value signing. Sutter, the Canucks need him on the PK. He's a right shot face-off guy who can win face-offs. Again, Jason Dickinson is a good addition. And face-offs aren't the most important thing, but on the PK, they are. So now the Canucks could have a PK up front that essentially goes with, let's say it would be Sutter with Mott and JT Miller with Jason Dickinson. So those could be your four main penalty-killing forwards. Because don't forget, that the Canucks have moved on from some penalty killers, including Antoine Roussel. They don't like using Horvat as a penalty killer because, number one, he's not very good at it, and number two, he's got other important roles and they don't want to give him too much ice time. At any rate, Sutter, for the most part, in Vancouver has been has not met expectations. He was brought in as a second-line center.
Foundational player.
There was a lot said about Brandon Sutter, and overall, he was probably best suited as a third-line center, and unfortunately, he was overpaid. And the Canucks gave up, you know, quite a few assets. Well, not quite a few. Assets in a trade to get him. Mm-hmm. But at $1 million, this is fine. This is a perfectly good signing. The key for Sutter will be to stay healthy. Mm-hmm. And I do believe that the Canucks should still look at signing some additional centers just in case Sutter doesn't remain healthy. Now, they could kick JT Miller down to the center spot. So you have JT Miller playing 3C, for example, and Jason Dickinson would play 4C if Sutter were to get hurt. But I don't think that's ideal. I don't think that's what they want to do. So look for the Canucks to maybe add another center in free agency going forward.
Yeah. Before we mook out, I want to also add that this is what a lot of people were clamoring for a long time ago. Is a 4C veteran guy that can do the things you talked about, making $1 million. It underscores that you don't need to pay through the nose for the things that you can get for a lot cheaper, right? I mean, and again, Jay Beagle's gone now. We don't really have to revisit it, but it was a colossal error in judgment, shelling out the kind of bucks that they did for a position that is entirely replaceable on the cheap. They got a guy for $1 million. I know we're in a flat cap, yada, yada, yada. Mook out that. Dom is currently working the telephone to try and get Rick Dhaliwal on the program so he can provide us with some more updates as to what's happening. Rick is working his phone relentlessly. Dom, where are we at here, bud? 1 second, he says.
Okay, well, let's print out some submissions for the humanoids. Maury the Mill Guy, what we learned.
There it is.
I love this one. And I was actually going to complain about it yesterday on Twitter, but I felt I'd done enough complaining on social media. What we learned, the phrase tidy piece of business or tidy business has been uttered or tweeted 47 times more than usual since the Jason Dickinson signing. The Brandon Sutter contract, another tidy piece of business. Can we please retire the phrase tidy piece of business? I blame Drantz for this. I blame Drantz for this because Drantz has passed it on to Harm. I saw Harm using this on Twitter, and Harm is a young, impressionable media member.
Mm-hmm. And he's just learning the ropes, And now he's turned into he's a tidy piece
of business. No more tiny piece of business.
I'll tell you what, though. We got a tidy piece of business here. Dom, out of nowhere, from the cloud, snags Rick Dhaliwal. I didn't even think you had time to make a phone call today, Rick. You're so busy working the text lines. One, thanks for joining us. Two, I know we're up against it for time, and you have limited time, so I'm just going to give you the floor. Go, buddy.
If I cut you off, I will drop the phone. It'll be over. Just kidding. I got a ton of texts coming in. So listen, Sutter, last night I was told, you know what, as of last night, they were going to hit the market. But then I was told 20 minutes later, they're going to revisit it. They just cut a deal for 1 year, $1 million. This is the player accepting his role and his identity. Really good, solid work by the Canucks. He'll be your fourth line center because Boyd, Graevec, they're gone. This is a good move by the Canucks. Hamonic is going to go right down to the wire. We got 25 minutes to go before he hits the market. They're deep in the talks with Hamonic right now. It's going to be interesting, 25 minutes to go. Yaroslav Halak, because he's 35, you can do a bonuses deal, 1 year, $1.5 million base, $1.5 million bonuses. He gets his $3 million. It's a one-year deal, and then the Canucks can go find someone else next year or do another deal with him. Brad Hunt, great 32-year-old Minnesota Wild defenseman, good Port Moody kid, really, really character guy. This is, organizations are built on character guys, and you will not find anyone that can say a bad word about Brad Hunt. Very good signing for the kids in the farm. He can come up. He could be that utility guy. They're talking to Kyle Burrows, Langley defenseman, played in Colorado last year. Mark Pisick, defenseman, keep an eye on him. Keep an eye on defensemen like Tucker Pooman, Jake McKay, Brandon Smith. They're going to be in on a lot of names. There's another name, hold on a sec here, that I want you guys to keep an eye on as well. I lost my piece of paper here.
Is it Hawk and Paw?
Hawk and Paw is the guy that...
Yes, yeah. I guessed it.
I certainly hope this guy doesn't end up here. Hawk and Paw, I'm going to have trouble with that name.
No, you'd like him. He's big and tough.
Yeah, he's big and tough. He's not going to score 100 goals, so I'm safe. P.S. Sutter is a center I want you to keep an eye on. Chicago Blackhawks, they're going to be in the market for... okay, so today I totally see them adding a fourth-line guy. I totally see them adding a defenseman in the $3-3.5 million range. Maybe get to... Well, yeah, Brad Hunt's there, so that's going to help. But look for them to be in on guys like Tucker Pooman, Jake McCabe. Derek Forbert, I know people say he's going to Boston. He played in Calgary. There's another tough guy. Remember, he had the incident with the Canuck last year. I can't remember which one it was. And it was Hoglander. He had the incident with Hoglander. So yes, they're in on a lot. The centermen, too, they checked in on Tyler Ennis a few days ago, just a short conversation. So Danton Heinen, the Langley kid, they have not called him. Jujhar Kahar, I don't see it. The Canucks have shown zero interest in him so far. I do not see him as a player that the Canucks will go after. Guys, I'm getting a text right now. I'm starting to fire up again. If that's good enough, can you guys let me go?
Thanks, Rick. We appreciate it, buddy. Good luck.
Have fun. Anytime for you guys. Okay, bye.
Thanks. That was literally every player in the NHL updated with Rick Dhaliwal here on the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650. Do I dare call it a tidy piece of business from Rick?
Someone texted in and said, tidy piece of business by Dom getting Dhaliwal on the show.
Yeah. That was your parting gift as you head off on vacation.
Sure, yeah. Sure. I'm just trying to do my job here.
You mentioned in my ear, as you're passing along news, the Ryan Suter deal is done in Dallas. Interesting pickup for the Stars there. A four-year deal, $3.6 million average annual cap hit. That's not really surprising given that he had just a huge amount of money coming to him via the buyout. We're still waiting on the other half of that buyout, Zach Parise, wherever he'll land. It sounded like Long Island. Mm-hmm. It sounded like there was a natural connection there between Lamoriello and Parise, but we'll have to wait and see on that one. The goalie carousel, I need to update that because it has spun in a very weird way. Essentially, Carolina and Toronto flipped goalies without making a trade. Carolina acquired Frederik Andersen, he previously of the Leafs. The Leafs went out and signed Peter Mrazek. Peter Mrazek, formerly of the Hurricanes.
So that's going to be their tandem, Mrazek and Jack Campbell?
I guess. I mean, they signed Mrazek to a three-year deal with an AAV of 3.8. So that leads me to believe that they see something in Mrazek that they're ready to put him in a combo with Campbell.
Yeah, good numbers last season in Carolina.
Yep.
I've stopped making hard predictions on goaltending.
I don't make any predictions.
I made so much fun of the Oilers last season for ending up with Mike Smith, and Mike Smith was like one of the best goalies in Canada.
Yep.
This tandem could go either way. I think it's not going to give Leafs fans a ton of confidence because they're like, oh, like Jack Campbell, a guy who took forever to make it to the NHL and has had his ups and downs. And then Peter Mrazek, a guy who's kind of bounced around a little bit. Mm-hmm. He's never been considered this like big money goalie. So it's one of these things that like, we'll see, I guess. Kyle Dubas, he doesn't have a lot of options.
No.
Right? He just doesn't. And he's got some cap issues. He's got some highly paid forwards that have reduced his ability to go out big game hunting for goalies. And I don't even know if the Leafs want to do the big game hunting for goalies. They seem to be an organization that is of the opinion that we're not going to overpay for goaltending because there are always other goalies available.
Which, do you have the Blake Coleman?
I do.
Yeah, Blake Coleman, according to Jimmy Hayes, former NHLer, now a member of the Missin' Curfew podcast with Shane O'Brien, regular Sportsnet 650 contributor. Jimmy Hayes reporting that Blake Coleman to the Calgary Flames on a six-year deal at $4.9 million per year. So the immediate reaction there from me would be a team that already had a Matthew Tkachuk now gets a sort of another Matthew Tkachuk and Blake Coleman. Blake Coleman is not nowhere near the same offensive level as Tkachuk, but it's a gritty.
I thought your immediate reaction would have been, Jimmy Hayes is an NHL insider?
No, those guys have been breaking deals.
They have been good,
yeah. With, like, quite a bit, actually. I mean, they're still really connected to all the guys in the league, so I'm sure they're getting this probably right from the source. So the Calgary Flames make two kind of moves of significance, Zadorov and Coleman. We'll wait to see what else happens there. Edmonton, as we talked about earlier, a flurry of action today. Zach Hyman in the door via free agency. They traded Ethan Bear. That's because they re-upped with Tyson Barrie and added Cody Ceci. So a very busy day for Ken Holland in Edmonton. It's going to be 8-7 games every night in Edmonton.
What are the expectations for Blake Coleman in Calgary that he's getting paid like this? He's a 29-year-old. I know he had a couple seasons in New Jersey where he scored 22 and 21 goals. He was on a very good Tampa Bay team and played his role down the lineup very well.
As a reasonably played third liner. And all that is screwed up now because now he's getting paid like a top six forward.
Yeah.
And
more will be expected of him.
Right.
And we've seen sometimes like the jump from third liner to second liner can be one of the hardest things to do. And then you're sitting there going, well, you better do it because we're paying you a lot of money. Oh, and also, you turn 30 in November.
Mm-hmm.
So stay in shape.
I do wonder what this is going to lead to for Calgary if they're going to move a forward out. Because the changing of the guard kind of got foisted upon them when they lost Giordano to Seattle at the expansion draft. And I wonder if Tree Living is looking at this and saying, you know what, we may as well, for lack of a better term, rip the Band-Aid off and get it all done now. Yeah.
What do you got, Dom?
Friend of the People Show, Shane O'Brien, reporting that Freddie Anderson, 2 years, $9 million with the Canes.
So $4.5 million cap hit. The only reason I bring that up is because everything in Carolina is about what they deem your value to be. And then if you don't match that, you're sayonara, like Alex Nedeljkovic. Apparently, that was for just $500,000.
So basically, the Leafs and the Hurricanes exchanged goalies?
More or less.
Free agency, yeah.
Yeah, in free agency. And then the Canes are bringing in Antti Raanta as well.
Also, Seattle making a move as they are potentially going to sign Alex Wennberg, that from Pierre LeBrun.
Yep. Oh, yeah, the Kraken are part of the league.
Yep.
Been so underwhelmed by what they've done.
Until they offer sheet Elias Pettersson, is that what you're waiting for?
Then I'll be like, there they are.
Yeah. Oh, wait. I really wish they would have done something else earlier in the process. Okay. Do you want to go to break real quick and come back? One final segment to come. Halford Bruff, Sportsnet 650.
Not having monthly fees means no monthly fee increases. Switch to a Simply Financial no-fee checking account and earn $200. Conditions apply. Visit simply.com. And NHL signing season on Sportsnet 650 is brought to you by Black & Lee's Summer Warehouse Sale. Buy one, get one half off on all suits. Details at blackandlee.com.
On a Wednesday, final segment of our show on Free Agent Frenzy Day. This show has been brought to you by the Dulari family of Acura dealers. Three dealerships to serve you better: North Shore Acura, Acura of Langley, and Briard Acura on Terminal Avenue. That last one is where our good buddies Dustin and Jordan are employed. Fantastic guys, great customer service, cool to hang out with. Go visit them today. Get yourself set up in an Acura.
So let's recap the Canucks situation. Backup goalie. Sounds like they've got one. Jaro Halak.
Check.
Fourth line center. Sounds like they've got one. Brandon Sutter.
Check.
Right shot defenseman in the top four.
Not so much.
Not yet.
Not yet.
That is the biggest need for them. Certainly if you believe our poll question today, which was, what is the Canucks' biggest need in free agency? We came up with four options. Right shot defenseman, backup goalie, another center, or a scoring winger. Right shot defenseman, almost 1,500 votes, had 89% of the vote. This is going to be the challenging one for Jim Benning. Because there just aren't... There's a lot of... Like, there's Dougie Hamilton, who is out of their league right now. They can't afford him, so just ignore that. Mm-hmm. And then there's a guy like David Savard, who's going to get overpaid.
He's gone already.
Is he gone now?
He's agreed to a deal with Montreal.
Montreal?
That was Eric
officially?
Eric Engels from Sportsnet reporting that one.
Okay.
Two Tampa Bay Lightning players, Cedric Paquette and David Savard, on their way to Montreal.
Okay. And then after that, it's like J-Pat said. He's like, you know, at the end of the day, are the Canucks going to lead the league in seventh and eighth defensemen? Because, sure, you can bring in Luke Shen. Great signing. Have him as depth. Worked well for Tampa Bay. Mm-hmm. These other guys like Brad Hunt, perfectly good depth defenseman. He's played in the NHL before. He can shuttle back and forth between Abbotsford and the Canucks if needed. But how comfortable would you be with a right side that is Travis Hamonic, Tyler Myers, and Luke Shen?
It wouldn't be, for a variety of reasons. One, the lack of mobility. Two, the fact that guys are probably playing in elevated roles. Like, I don't think Shen is an every night defenseman, and I don't think Hamonic's ideally a top four guy. And three, I would have major concerns about all three of those guys staying healthy.
Mm-hmm. Imagine if Tyler Myers were to get hurt, and you've got Luke Shen and Travis Hamonic on the right side, and then I don't know.
So it's a foregone conclusion they got to add. By the way, it's Canadians and David Savard. It's believed to be 4 years, $16 million. So not as outrageous or outlandish as I thought it would be, but still, you're signing a 4 year deal for a guy that's inching closer to 30. But that kind of, you know, we bring up David Savard because it kind of underscores what kind of value these guys are going to get by going to market. And the Canucks just don't have the financial flexibility to overpay. They have to find like right now, Halak, I would say, I'm not going to use tidy piece of business. I'll say it's a shrewd signing because the cap hit is minimal.
I wonder what his performance bonus is. Like, he ties up his skates once and he gets that performance bonus?
I think I read somewhere it's games played.
So although
I
like one?
I like that. Yeah. Congratulations. You hit.
You did it. You did it. You're amazing.
All he has to do is take the warm-up lap. It's like you actually just don't have to appear in a game. You just have to be on the bench.
So if you're confused why we're joking around about this, because Halak is of a certain age, he can sign a contract with that has performance bonuses, and he essentially signed for $1.5 million this season. Mm-hmm. And then if he hits those performance bonuses, and we don't know what the rate right. is or what the level is, he gets another $1.5 million, and that would be applied to next season's cap.
Yeah. So the joke is you have the most obvious and easily attainable performance bonus ever, like appearing in one game. I bet it's 10 if I had to guess.
Minor Matt in Abbotsford suggests Zach Bogosian. Yeah, there's a name.
He certainly is a name.
No, but he would be someone that the Canucks would target. But again, I would put him in the same category as Travis Hamonic and, you know, some of the names we've heard, whether it's Hawk and Paw, right shot defensemen that are probably best suited on the third pair.
I mean, he might be closer to Luke Shen, where I don't know if he's an every night NHL defenseman anymore. Again, come back to what we said. It based on three things. One, the defenseman market, specifically right-handed defenseman market. Two, how aggressive Jim Benning has been. And three, the fact that they don't have a ton of free money to spend leads me to believe that there could be a trade in the works to acquire a defenseman.
Did I read this, what we learned from Dustin the Joker?
No.
What we learned, say what you will about ownership, but when the only team that is spending more than you is the Stanley Cup champion, you have to give some credit to Francesco for giving Jim every opportunity to make this team a success next season. This is a complicated one because you want to have an ownership that's willing to spend money. And for the most part, the Canucks have been willing to spend money. There was a blip, obviously, during the pandemic where purse strings got tight. This is the same for a lot of businesses, okay? People were worried about revenue. The Canucks couldn't sell tickets, all right? But it kind of hampers the business a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
For the most part, the Canucks have been very willing to spend money on players, but that has been to their detriment in a lot of ways. The hard salary cap makes it really, it's not black and white. Like, you want an owner that is willing to spend money. I can't think of a Stanley Cup champion in recent years that hasn't been close to the cap or over it in the case of the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Right.
Like, you know, you can put together a decent team on a shoestring budget where you're just above the floor, but typically that team is not going to win the Stanley Cup. The Canucks have been willing, for the most part, to go to the cap to their detriment at times, though.
Mm-hmm. I know. Sometimes spending to the cap isn't a great thing. We always go back to the Terry Pegula situation in Buffalo when he first came aboard, and they were throwing around money left and right.
And they wasted a lot of it.
Right. The Ville Leino deal, remember that one? That was after one good playoff run. It was, let's open the bank for Ville Leino, the Christian Ehrhoff contract. Mm-hmm. They had to get out from under a bunch of them.
I tweeted out yesterday that the Canucks have wasted so, so much money the last few years, and most people agreed, but there was a few people that were like, well, who cares? It's not your money. Well, because of the hard salary cap. Are you not paying attention here? I mean, back in the day before the hard salary cap, this is one of the reasons why, you know, the NHL had to go to the hard salary cap, owners were spending like crazy. Certain owners, you know, Detroit and Toronto and Colorado
and
New York Rangers, mm-hmm. and at times Vancouver.
Yep.
And it didn't matter if the player wasn't very good because you were kind of like, well, it's not my money.
Yeah, you just spend, and you can just spend more money to spend your way out of it.
Space is an asset.
Yeah. Except for the Seattle Kraken. I don't know what they're doing with it.
I'll be curious to see. Are the Kraken preparing to do something big?
Well, so they're apparently on the verge of signing Alex Wennberg.
That's not big.
I believe I was listening to an interview with Jeremy Rutherford from the Athletic St. Louis that Jaden Schwartz appears likely to be on his way, but that's also not big. It's a good move. It's solid. They seem to be lurking in the weeds, but I don't know if that is them waiting to strike or them just kind of hanging out in the weeds because it's comfortable there. Like, I don't know how aggressive they're going to be because they haven't been aggressive yet. They weren't aggressive at the expansion draft. They weren't aggressive to start after the freeze. They weren't aggressive at the NHL entry draft. They just sort of took their pick and went away.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't been movers and shakers. They've been very quiet. So I don't know whether that they're waiting to pounce or if they're just going to stay quiet.
Okay, coming up later in the week for the Halford and Brough show, we'll obviously tomorrow we'll look back on the big day and see what the Canucks still need to do in their offseason. Dom is heading out on vacation, so that's exciting for everyone, especially Dom.
Goodbye, Dominic.
Josh will be filling in as the producer.
Hello, Josh.
You know, if you do a good job, Josh, we'll just talk when Dom's gone. We'll just talk about
it. Don't say it in front of him.
Yeah, we won't do that.
Don't say the quiet part out loud.
Yeah. And I think in the next few days, we might get into some non-hockey stuff as well. Like, it's been so hockey intensive. That let's stretch our legs a little bit on some of the stuff in the Olympics, maybe the NFL. I feel like vaccines have been the big story.
Vaccines and Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah,
that's
those are the
entire
two
story of the NFL.
Big
right now.
Stories in the offseason, so maybe we'll get into those topics. But it's been a fun day. It was a fun day yesterday. lots of news. The Canucks are making lots of moves. They still need to make a few more key ones, and we'll see how they do for the rest of the day.
Enjoy the rest of the day, folks. We're out of here. Signing off, I have been Mike Halford. He has been Jason Brough. He's been Nephew Dom. He's been producer Josh. This has been the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650.
Find great deals only available at BC liquor stores. Save $2 on the 1 liter bottle of Pinot Sur, Pinot Noir, Rosé, or Red Blend, now only $10.99. Products vary by store. Please enjoy responsibly.